Hi, I'm Lauren Sherman, the host of Fashion People. I love fashion, obviously, but shopping for fashion online is kind of annoying. There's endless scrolling, my size is always out of stock, and I can't actually find what I want. No one has really made this work for me. That is until List. Instead of browsing different stores one by one, on List you can see and shop all of the best fashion. List is the secret shopping weapon now used by all my most stylish, cool, and in-the-know friends. Don't shop around. Join 200 million fashion shoppers, including me, on list.com. That's L-Y-S-T. Or download the List app on the App Store today.
It is McNeil and Parkins, our Super Bowl show broadcast. We need to thank Joe's Seafood Prime Steak and Stone Crab, located at 60 East Grand Avenue on the corner of Grand and Rush. Score big on Super Bowl Sunday with Joe's large group carryout, perfect for groups of all sizes. 24-hour advance notice is required. For more information and menu items, visit www.joes.net. Also, Art of Pizza on State Street, hot, fresh, ready-to-go pies for pickup or delivery. And our bartenders today, courtesy of Cork Catering and Special Events and Tavern at the Park. We are at the Blue Cross Blue Shield performance stage, and we wanted to, you know, it's a Super Bowl party. We wanted to have our friends. So our guy, Matt Spiegel, joins us on the stage. Round of applause for Matt Spiegel, everybody.
Hello, everybody. Thank you. What Hello, man. What's going on?
I've been touting you as eye candy for 3 days. Well, it started with Olin Kreutz. Yeah, we'll bring Olin down for some eye candy. People like to see professional athletes.
I was wondering what the second part of that was. I am not a professional athlete. But it's nice that
you are eye candy. You're lighter than you've been since I've known you. You look great.
Thank you, sir. It's nice to have evolved into eye candy from the slobbery mess that I was for so many years. Now, it's nice not to be that. Has anybody else stepped into that void to be a slobbery mess?
No.
Campy.
Yeah, there it is.
See, but Shep was always the eye candy at the station. Shep was cougar bait. That's what we labeled
correct.
Him as. And in the carefree shirtless days of radio in your backyard, Dan McNeil, in Hammond, Indiana, he was as handsome as a producer could ever be in an Indian headdress and tight jean shorts.
That's right, jean shorts, getting the pizza at the front door.
I'm noticing a thing.
I thought there was a Schmitz gay ad being filmed in the backyard.
I forgot you sent him to get the pizza.
Still the high point of my career. You can give Michigan Avenue all the love that you want, but nothing's going to top getting that pizza.
Yeah, with only in front of three people and no video streaming, but still.
Right.
Gotten it
the
done.
Pizza guy looks at me like I have three heads, like, get me the hell out of here.
By the way, Danny Parkin's idea that Lady Gaga stole A Star Is Born. Now, she was the best thing about the movie and a revelation for a lot of people and just awesome. But I don't know if you can call it a steal when she is the star in A Star Is Born. It's about her.
Yeah.
It's about her stealing, literally, like, taking everybody's fame, taking his spotlight, taking over the world. If she doesn't steal it, it's like an epic failure in title, concept, and execution.
All right. I mean, touche, smart guy over here. But if it's an acting...
Hey, I've had a lot of time.
Yeah. Nailed it. But no, it's Bradley Cooper and Lady Gaga.
I know.
And I'm going in saying, who's going to have the better acting performance? Silly me. I'm thinking it's going to be the actor.
Well, my suspicion is you saw neither of the first three.
That's correct. Oh, the scene in the garage? Huge twist for me. Didn't see it coming. Had no idea. So I had very little of Star Is Born knowledge.
Yeah, well, it's just the fourth time they're making the same movie.
It's a good vehicle. It sets up nicely to speak of the times.
It's like Fast and the Furious.
a lot like that. So I heard you guys talking about Radio Row yesterday. And I was remembering my first Radio Row ever, which was 2008 in Phoenix, the week of the David Tyree catch. And of course, like most radio slobs, I was not at the game. I was sent home, you know, on company dime before the game. But that week, among other things, there was a delightful lunch with Dan McNeil that week in 2008. You remember that?
I do, right. Mm-hmm. Yeah, after a breakfast with ESPN executives who were telling us we were going to do this, this, and this, and I didn't have much of an appetite for lunch after the Bristolians had come in and straightened me out. But yeah, those Super Bowls, I mean, Bacteria Row, as I like to refer to it, is a blast. And as soon as, you know, Wednesday got here this week, I just, man, we're not there. You feel that itch? We should. Pushed.
Yeah, man. We did a couple of them. New Orleans, right?
You and I did New Orleans.
With Russell Wilson, a rookie Russell Wilson, giving us a scouting report on new Bears coach Mark Trestman. That was fun.
Nice get.
Because they had worked together at North Carolina State.
I'm sure they had.
But we were face-to-face or ass-to-face with Larry Fitzgerald as he was walking by. I think I told him, you know, your ass looks better in football pants than it does in nice slacks.
Not a surprising angle for you to take, no.
He said, I've heard that before.
So I'm there in 2008 in Phoenix, and I did nights. I was the only guy there at night on Radio Row. There's nobody there. So I recorded recorded interviews during the day and played them at night. Had a great one with Mike Campbell and Ben Montench from Tom Petty's band because they were playing. I tried to get real and talk weight loss with Jared from Subway, I remember.
That's held up.
I was going to say, that's another one that won't make it these days.
Think of the conversational possibilities that were there that I had no idea about.
Wow.
Hey, Jared, what's on your hard drive these days, you know? But then the two live interviews stand out as Mac was just making the cleaning lady mechanic. I spoke to the cleaning lady who was vacuuming.
Nice get.
She had a lot of tattoos and told me she was going to ride her Harley to a bar afterwards, and I think I had a chance, and I didn't take it.
Opportunity missed.
And then the other one, and this is the quiz, a Score employee then and now came down and graciously spent an hour with me at night from 8 o'clock until 9 o'clock. Instead of going to parties or socializing or sleeping, he came down and we had an awesome hour of radio together.
Lawrence Holmes.
No. Robert. No.
Bernsey.
No. Nope.
Pat Hughes.
That was well timed. No.
Man, Score employee.
Mully.
Mully?
Mike Mulligan and I did a solid hour on Sporting News Radio National. He graciously gave his time to a little punk national broadcaster in Matt Spiegel in 2008. So thank you, Mully, 11 years later.
And then 09 arrived.
Well, you and I kind of we kind of hatched the idea for what became 2009 in terms of June 15th, 2009 for you and me.
Yes, we did.
There we had a good 15 months out.
Yeah.
From that point on, but you know,
sniffed it coming. Yeah, yeah. Starting to plant some seeds.
And then the Patriots are still here.
Yes.
How about the Patriots played the Rams?
Belichick and Brady played the Rams in the Super Bowl the first year Mac Yurko and Harry went to a Super Bowl.
In 2004?
2002.
Okay.
Yes.
Has anything happened in your life,
that
Max?
That show's been over for 10 years. Oh, yeah, big pile of ex-wives. I love that phrase. I know you do, too.
I do.
It's so endearing.
Remember, we counted one day when Bobby Hull was in the studio. All right, how many you got? All right. Without a doubt, it's the best quarterback and the best head coach in the history of the NFL, right?
So can I this for a second?
No.
Because I know you missed it.
No, because I got stuff.
Okay.
I don't know... I used to praise certain coaches who won in different ways with different quarterbacks, whether it's Don Shula and they won with Greasy and then Marino and David Woodley, he goes to a Super Bowl with, or Joe Gibbs and he goes with four different guys with the Redskins. The malleability of coach. I know Belichick's nine have all been with Brady, but look at the different ways they have played. Early on, they're using a fullback and pounding the ball. Then Welker and Moss get there, and he opens it up wide. Then he drafts Gronkowski and Aaron Hernandez in the same year and completely transforms what the league is. And even just this year alone, what they started out as this year and what they finished up as, all of a sudden now they're pounding the rock again with a fullback and Sony Michel. Every year they evolve into the best possible version of themselves by the time the playoffs come. It's astounding.
It is, and I think this is a terrific version. Danny does. What did you say? This is their ninth out of nine.
It feels to me.
This is the best running. This is the best backfield they've had.
It is, and it's by design because Brady's getting older, and when he had the knee injury this season, he looked limited, and Gronk has been limited with the back. And Sony Michel, to your point, Speaks, first round pick. He knew. He's like, I've got to do it. I got to protect Brady and get the ball out quick and give him a great backfield, and he has one.
And the offensive line, I mean, 21 sacks. Brady was sacked 21 times, tied for fewest in the league.
Right.
In their two playoff games, you know how many quarterback hits there were?
It's the one, right? The three one hits. In the Chiefs game.
Three hits. Yeah, three quarterback hits and no sacks. Zero sacks.
Yeah.
It's just, but they evolve. That defense usually evolves. Sometimes they blitz more in the playoffs than they did during the season. He figures out what he has and how to use it better than any coach in almost any sport I can think of.
I think he is so very clearly the best coach in football history. The only quibble I have with the Brady argument is we're doing it based on accomplishment. Like, he has the best trophy case, right? He's won the most and he's been paired with the best coach. But when I watch him play, Peyton Manning was more talented. Aaron Rodgers is more talented. I think Drew Brees is more talented. And so I think if you took Belichick off and gave him another great coach, Brady would still win. He'd have rings, but it wouldn't be five. But if you had Belichick and you took away Brady and gave him another all-time great quarterback, I think he still has the five rings because I think Brady – he doesn't have the best arm. He doesn't have the best mobility.
Iceman in the last two minutes of a game.
Montana didn't have the best arm. What are we talking about? It's not about talent. We're talking about best.
Well, but I think Bill Walsh is actually another example of the system was amazing. Now, Montana was perfect in it, and I didn't watch it all.
But what I'm telling you is that Brady has now gone to Super Bowls with at least four or five different systems in this regime alone. Charlie Weiss does not do what Josh McDaniels has done, and McDaniels has done like three different things during his run there. They do different things every year.
Right, but how Brady has described it is that the institutional knowledge that they have, not only of in their own building, but Belichick scouting the other team's defenses. It's not like Vic Fangio, who has complete autonomy of the Bears' defense. Josh McDaniels doesn't have complete autonomy of the Patriots' offense. Some of it is Bill Belichick looks at the Rams' defense because he's a defensive wizard and then helps game plan against their expertise.
Of course. I just realized that. What am I supposed to penalize either Belichick because he's been able to keep a great relationship with Brady for 18 years, or am I supposed to penalize Brady because he's managed to stay healthy and keep a great relationship with his coach and franchise and stay in the same place for 18 years? Supposed to penalize him in some sort of argument?
Is it penalizing? Yes.
If I'm going to count that as a negative, I'm not going to count their constancy and ability to maintain as a negative.
I just think when I look at it, I see a guy who was dealt an amazing hand and has maximized it. He played it great. Whereas Peyton Manning,
he's got the right roids guy too. Clearly,
that's what I'm saying. He's 41 and reverse aging. It's not all blueberries and glasses of water.
Yeah, who am I? I don't know.
Benjamin Button.
It's obviously remarkable, and they are the greatest dynasty in the history of team sports.
And how do you pick against those two guys?
I won't.
And you go. I can't.
Go Rams.
I can't. You've got the reigning boy wonder offensive genius and a quarterback in development that does not usually trump going against something like this. Although
it did last year.
It not only did it last year, but it did for these young Patriots, right? Brady and Belichick. I mean, Belichick wasn't quite Sean McVay, but he was a younger man when they beat the greatest show on turf, when they beat the Rams.
How many Rams have played in a Super Bowl? Three?
Tlaib.
Is that it?
Brandon Cooks.
He was with New England 1 year,
last
right?
year.
Yeah.
Yeah, no, not many.
Two.
I mean, well, you've got two. You've got these guys. Yeah, I can't pick against them. There's absolutely no way I could pick against them. And I heard you say double digits, Mac. I wouldn't be surprised. Just because once they get going and you give Belichick 2 weeks, and he will engineer that offense.
You're talking me into going large on this thing, and I already was leaning in that direction.
That Rams defense is way more talented than it is good.
That's correct.
That is absolutely true. And I think that's somewhat a product of just this era of football.
Could be.
You know, the Bears are an outlier, right? The Bears and the Ravens were the only two defenses that consistently were holding teams below their expectation. I trust Vegas on a lot of this stuff, and they opened the Rams as a favorite on a neutral field. And then all of the money has come in on New England, but it still hasn't gotten up to three. I think the Rams are more talented. We saw the Eagles hang a huge number on them last year. We saw the Chiefs put up 31 in the second half. The Chargers got destroyed early, and that game was a blowout. That was an A-plus game from the Patriots, and the Chargers scored some garbage time stuff late.
And McVay's great.
He's amazing.
I think that Bill and Tom are generational talents, and their relationship is just freaking remarkable. So,
Lobster again!
You see a blowout.
I don't know that I see a blowout, but I see them kind of steadily taking control and just kind of hammering it away at the kids.
What should my thoughts on Maroon 5 be?
I'm glad you got there. Do you have?
I love that's the way that he phrases it.
Well, I obviously don't have any of mine, I can parrot some of yours.
Danny needs musical thoughts to be handed to him, you know? For a while, he needed hockey thoughts to be handed to him, and the Lord invented Jay Zawoski for exactly such things.
At least I'm honest about it.
Yeah, he was invented.
He was invented to deliver hockey thoughts.
I only steal thoughts from the best. Yeah.
Your thoughts on Maroon 5, they'll probably make you want to dance. I mean, that's kind of what they would like you to dance and have moves like Jagger. They would like you to be impressed by Adam Levine's vocal range.
Is it better than mine?
You should be vaguely impressed. You should be impressed that they've stuck around and had staying power, but you should notice that there's not anything kind of remotely original and memorable about them, truth be told.
So much conversation and argument goes into the halftime act at a Super Bowl, and I don't really care who it is. I don't want to see them on a makeshift portable stage where there's no opportunity to do a sound check and everything is so slammed together. It is putting the best musicians in the world in a horribly compromised position so they can do an 11-minute medley of their most well-known work.
It's why it's always like a miracle when Springsteen was good or when Prince was good, like when actual bands were good at pulling it off. It's best when it's a show. When Lady Gaga was freaking great.
Yeah.
That Katy Perry show with Shark 1 and Shark 2.
I didn't know what was going on, but it was impressive.
It should just be a spectacle like that with as many things blowing up as possible.
Mac was at the Prince one and didn't watch. That blows my mind. That's a fun fact of Dan McNeil that just blows my mind.
Well, he had to get outside to smoke, right?
Yeah, it was. Yeah. Jim Litke needed, from the Associated Press, needed a ramp partner, and I provided it. We had a couple together.
I've seen you smoke with some impressive people. I've seen you smoke with Jim Litke. Auntie Niemi's wife, I believe, you
defended
spoke with.
Her honor that night in Philadelphia when nasty Philadelphians were yelling rude things. Yeah, mm-hmm. Some of the things that they yelled, let's do this to her.
Yeah, but
Yeah.
Oh, wow.
Hold on That's a awful. Second. I'm having a cigarette with this lady.
But my favorite, I think, is Jerry Taft, just because you would always end up outside with Jerry Taft. having a smoke on State Street for the world to see. Hey, is that Jerry Taft and Dan McNeil? It is.
My favorite Jerry Taft story. We were talking this week. We've been talking about how it is the tendency of some partners in a marriage to not practice economy of words. And to give you 500 words when maybe 30 are necessary. And
it's your job to listen, though.
Yeah,
exactly.
Fake listen. I was told.
Ooh,
I was told that should be part of it too.
That will come back and bite you in the ass.
But Taft's got the great conversation closer when a coworker was all excited about her wedding album. She's Jerry. You have to look through the pictures of the wedding. He goes, that's nothing. I got four of those. That'll stop a conversation.
Yes, it's true.
Nothing. I got four of those. Turn your back in disgust. Mm-hmm.
Matt Spiegel is hanging out with us, and he says that coming up next, he is ready to concede on a longtime Super Bowl bet that listeners keep bringing up to him over the years. Matt Spiegel's concession speech coming up on The Score.
That was Ramblin' Grimace to the men's room out of nowhere.
Don't hang your head in shame. It's all time.
Yeah, it was good. I'm glad we saved that one.
Well,
a lot of other ones that are gone forever, but that one lives.
Recent enough.
It birthed a memorable Twitter account. I believe Ramblin' Grimace's avatar is still Grimace sitting on a toilet.
I think so.
Okay.
Palatine, where that was born?
Not Dirty Nelly's, but it was that other place. Yeah, H-O-M-E, the House of... something musical entertainment. I think it's called Home.
Yeah, back in the days when we used to canvas Chicagoland doing these here radio shows.
Back in the days when noon sounded like scotch time for the midday show.
That's awesome.
I can see the one on my watch. I think, so yeah, all of a sudden I had to go potty, Mac. I just had to go.
It happens, man. It happens.
So, I'll be right back. The scurry.
I rambled, made my way.
He turned into a play-by-play broadcaster. So what do you got for us
here? All right, so in 2000, I believe it was 14, might have been 13, but I believe it was 14, they had the Super Bowl at the Meadowlands, had the Super Bowl outside. And the whole year we spent saying, like, what a terrible idea. The weather's going to affect you. You can't have the weather. But Roger Goodell was, I know this is a shocker, was really arrogant about doing it there. You remember the fake snow that he had at his press conference?
Sure.
Hey, they told me it might snow. And they dropped snow from the ceiling. Jackass. So
he was about 10 hours away from his worst nightmare.
But it didn't happen.
Right. The snow came the next morning.
The snow came the next morning, but not on Sunday. On Sunday, the weather was fine.
Yep.
And because it went off without a hitch... And because he was able to take care of the Maras, you know, the Mara family, I was convinced that they would do it again, that they would do an outdoor Super Bowl sometime in the next decade. They would do it again. In a cold weather city to reward either the Crafts or reward Jeff Lurie in Philly. And it wouldn't happen here in Chicago, of course, because Sweaty Teddy, when he put the spaceship inside the columns, he didn't put enough seats in there to even be a candidate.
61.5's not going to cut it.
Just missed it, Ted. but I was convinced that there would be another outdoor Super Bowl. And you said, no way. No way. It would never happen. And we made a bet. $500 was the bet. But at 3-1 odds, because I'm like, man, if I'm putting $500 out there, you got to give me odds. So I spent a good, what's it been, 5 years, several years thinking I was getting $1,500 from Dan McNeil some point. But it did not happen. You might have noticed that it has not happened. And they just announced all the Super Bowls through 2024, right? So
Miami next year.
Then Tampa, then Los Angeles, then Glendale in 2023. And the Mercedes-Benz Superdome in New Orleans in 2024. I have officially lost. I brought along the original cheat sheet that I think Nick Szepkowski wrote up with.
Oh, my God, that was in a folder?
This was still in a folder. And these were all the potential cities that would qualify for a cold weather outside Super Bowl.
I remember we had the debate, Danny, whether Seattle counted as a cold weather city. And I'm like, I don't think it would count as one.
It's a good use of airtime, though.
Right. I was pissed off because it's not checked off on the list. I'm like, come on, Seattle should count. But no, it didn't count. But either way, I owe you $500, Dan McNeil.
I thought, did we have a date?
2024.
Oh, that was.
He's saying 10 years. We now know where the next five Super Bowls are.
They've announced it.
I thought it was like as long as we were speaking.
Well, that ended a while back.
You had your chance.
No, 2024, and so we are officially done. I'm going to go ahead and offer to write that $500 check to the Turning Point Autism Foundation in honor of your son, Patrick.
That's beautiful.
Right?
That's beautiful.
Is that still an active, healthy place? Is Walter Johnson, the big train, still in charge?
The big train moved to some different tracks a few years ago.
Okay.
They have a new executive director, but we are hoping to partner with them to resurrect the Scores golf outing this summer.
I got you. Well, it's an amazing place that... helps autistic adults kind of figure out how to function and live their lives, get jobs. And
yeah, several businesses right on campus where they're able to do those jobs under supervision until they can handle it on their own. Is a remarkable facility. That's very generous of you, man. Thanks.
I got to pay off a bet. Now,
it's tax deductible.
If you'd rather just the $500 and spend it on something else, you're welcome to do that. But I'm offering to give it to charity.
I have everything I need. Okay. That's money good. Well spent.
All right. Well, yeah, I hereby concede. I was hoping to win that one.
Well, you hope to win every bet, but they were so lucky they pulled that thing off in New York, man, because those storms were earlier in the week. They thought they were going to get creamed with snow on game day. They missed it by 10, 12 hours.
We were talking about this the other day. I know it's a hypothetical, and you know I love those, but what if Wednesday's temperature here would have been either the NFC Championship game or if that would have been the weather in cold weather Super Bowl City X? Do you think they canceled or moved the Super Bowl?
If Wednesday's temperature, is that how much colder is that than that day in Cincinnati when Dan Fouts and Air Coryell had absolutely no chance? You remember that game? That was, I believe, an AFC Championship game. I believe that was when Cincinnati...
Yeah, when Forrest Gregg told his players to take the thermals off.
Yes. Is that what it was?
Yeah, he was the coach of the Bengals.
Yes.
And he said, you don't wear those thermals out there. You go out there in short sleeves and show them we're Midwesterners.
Right. They went on to lose to the Niners.
It is idiotic, but they went out and did what he asked them to do.
Yeah, and they went on to lose to the Niners and Joe Montana to John Taylor with that final drive. But that day was unbelievably cold. If it was that cold, I think they probably do cancel. Nowadays, with the sensitivity that has been raised a little bit to not, you know, killing people.
Yeah, right. It's dangerous. It's a bad idea.
Yeah.
And it also sullies the product. And we were fearful that Chiefs-Colts in the divisional round, the divisional round was going to be a disaster because they were expecting an Arctic blast, and it was going to be snowy. And you don't want to see those offenses operate in a handicapped way. You don't build a race car to take it off-road.
Right. I know. By the way, I assume that everybody's recovered, and maybe I'm alone here, but I wanted Chiefs-Saints. Anybody else? Was anybody else dying for Chiefs-Saints,
I said in transition that Patriots-Rams was the fourth of the four Super Bowl options that I wanted going into Championship Sunday.
What you got.
I had Chiefs-Saints, Chiefs-Rams, Pats-Saints, because then at least you get Brady and Breeze. And this one, the most compelling of the matchups is Belichick and McVay.
And McVay.
Which is cool, but it's not an on-the-field matchup.
Well, that offensive line that that I was just talking about, having to deal with Aaron Donald and Ndamukong Suh, is pretty awesome.
They did all right against those Chiefs pass rushers, and they're pretty damn good, too. Those three the Chiefs send at you, Dee Ford, Chris Jones, and 50, Houston.
So as I'm reading about the Patriots' offensive line, this morning, Tom Brady was talking about Dante Scarnecchia, their offensive line coach, who quit and then came back this year. And he said, well, he's the greatest offensive line coach in the history of football.
Don't disrespect Harry Hiestand like that.
I think Howard Mudd might have a word to say about that as well.
You don't have the position of offensive line coach had it not been for Muddy.
So Harry Hiestand, Dick Stanfill, I'm told, was great for the 85 Bears.
He would be in the draft of offensive line coaches.
Tony Wise and Mike Tice are two more. And I think I'm done at offensive line coaches. Can you go more than five deep at offensive line coaches?
No.
Like, have you Scarnecchia?
Joe Bugle.
Oh, Joe Bugle.
Joe Bugle.
Nice.
Yeah, he worked with the Hogs, didn't he? I think he was the Redskins.
The aforementioned
Redskins
teams.
He was awful as a head coach. Uh-huh. He was a head coach briefly for the Phoenix Cardinals, I believe.
Bob Wiley?
Bob Wiley.
From Hard Knocks.
There you go.
The gut.
Hut, hut. Hut, hut.
All right. Well, I'm glad we did that. But how dare you disrespect Harry Hiestand and Howard Mudd?
That's what I'm saying.
Paul Boudreau? Falcons.
That was your guy in Atlanta.
He was my guy in Atlanta.
You were in love with him for a while.
I fell in love with him for a year, and then he got popped.
you just like fat guys and people who coach fat guys.
Paul Boudreau's my guy.
Typecast.
Remembered that name.
That's true.
The The Patriots, man, you're right. They don't let Brady get hit. I was in Barnwell's preview piece today. He takes 2.61 seconds to get the ball out. Fifth best in the NFL, and in the playoffs, he's been faster.
Wow.
So he just – and then they have this offensive line.
17.9% of his dropbacks, he's been pressured. That's lowest in the NFL.
Yeah, and I saw it was the lowest since the playoff pressure rate is the lowest in a postseason in the last, like, 10 years, mm-hmm. Except for Peyton Manning in 2013. Well, and I thought that was interesting because they're the same type of guy. The old veteran quarterback,
right.
Presumably towards the end of their career, that you just don't want to hit.
But Peyton Manning's arm turned into butter at a certain point there, and Brady's arm.
Last year it was, for sure.
With the neck surgeries, yeah. But Brady, what's amazing about them is that Gronk, Edelman, and James White are open the second the ball is snapped. Like, they bring in those guys for that exact trait so that it's not about long developing routes and down the field. It's so mm-hmm. if Brady needs to throw the ball right away, are you open? They're not the fastest guys, but it's the short area quickness to get open right away. It's almost like they know what they're doing when they build the roster.
Every year, when he builds a roster every year, and he mixes in the young developing guys with the aging, still productive guys and tries to figure out who to keep.
All right, so you came in hot with your Pat stuff, but answer, we all watched, right? We watched Rams Saints, Rams Cowboys, Rams Bears, Rams Chiefs. At a minimum, like, the football world watched the Rams against those four good teams mm-hmm. in high profile spots. Jared Goff is a former number one overall pick. Do you think he's good?
I heard you guys with Wani, and I thought Wani nailed in terms of what Goff did against New Orleans in that second half and that fourth quarter. Like, you can't – you're not just a system guy when you're making those throws on the road in yep. a game like that. So that impressed the hell out of me. Do I think he's good? Yeah. Yeah, I do think he's good. I'm more confident in him than I am in Mitch Trubisky because there's an extra year in the system.
I hedged on that one yesterday, and it's probably silly to hedge on it. I don't know why there would be much debate. One of them is playing for the Super Bowl, and one of them had an okay performance in his first playoff game, and that's all I'm giving Trubisky.
It depends what the question is. Like, if it's right now, yeah, Goff is ahead. He's 2 years in the system, 3 years in the league. He's put up the 4,700-yard, 32-touchdown season. But who will be better?
Yeah, I'm not. That's not out of the question that Mitch is going to be better than Goff. I hope he is. And let's see where he is next year at this time. Remember,
I think they're very similar.
The mobility gives. That's why I take Trubisky or consider Trubisky. What he does hurt you with his legs.
Yes. Mm-hmm.
The best way to run speed with your legs.
Right. Also in space is very helpful to do it there if you can breathe. But also it's like every quarterback in the final four, whether it was Mahomes who sat for a year or Goff who's now had McVay for 2 years, has had at least 2 years in the system. So let's see where Mitch is next year. And when we spent all last year hoping for the Bears to be the Rams, they were surprise division winner and a first round out. That's what the Rams were last year. So,
right.
So next year bodes well. Obviously.
Right. When we get to previewing next Bears season, one of the big questions are going to be, are they more like the Rams or the Jaguars? Right. Like, the Jaguars were the team that got to the AFC Championship game on the strength of their defense and all of the takeaways and all of that. And then they took a huge step back. Weren't that talented at quarterback, regressed, couldn't replicate it. I think they're the Rams.
Mitch's numbers a lot better this year than Bortles were last year, though.
I mean,
my gut says yes on that.
Yeah, but they were a better running team with Fournette than the Bears were. I mean, the Bears' offense was 21st or 22nd in terms of total offense. Scoring, it was much better mm-hmm. because of the defensive touchdowns and the turnovers. But in terms of actual offensive efficiency, it wasn't a great offense because everyone was new. Like it wasn't just Mitch's first year
right.
in the system. It was all of their first year.
In one year, though, it has been remarkable how Ryan Pace has turned this thing around and just sending the shockwave across the entire football country with the trade he makes for Khalil Mack and how Roquan Smith stepped in from day one yeah. and looks like he is going to be a stud. Fast forward me to Bourbon A. And before we get to camp, though, let's stop at that place right off 57 so we can play Guess the Shellfish again.
Oh, I remember
that buffet. Or, Marcus, you would have loved it. I'm not sure exactly what this one is, but let's give it a try.
Nothing ever went wrong there.
It's quite pungent.
You guys are very fortunate that football has been interesting because the hot stove is just freaking freezing and barren and empty And the Bulls and Blackhawks are just awful and hideous and no fun to talk about, I would assume.
Yeah,
it's terrible.
I'm willing to be open-minded to the Hawks making a run. I don't think...
A run?
Yeah, to get to the playoffs.
For what, exactly?
To get to the eighth seed. That was something we talked about right after, before they went on this break. Is it delusional to think the Hawks can stay off the mat and grab the eighth seed? What? And a lot of people, half of them said, yes, it is delusional, and half said, 25% said, no, it isn't. Have you watched lately? 25% said, not enough evidence yet.
Well,
too early
what's,
to sell.
What's brutal for you and Hawks devotees is that Taves and Kane are having incredible years.
I know.
And the thought the thought was like, as long as you have those two guys, you'll have a chance. Apparently not. You need more than that. But you probably didn't ask me to come here to talk Blackhawks. I'm just guessing.
No, whatever. No. We came with you to hang out for the hour. You got one more segment in you?
I do. Sure.
Excellent. Bottom of the hour was brought to you by Northwestern Basketball. Don't miss Coach Collins and the Cats at the new Welsh Ryan Arena this season. Single game tickets available for Penn State, Rutgers, Minnesota, and Ohio State. Buy now at nusports.com. And Super Bowl coverage on the Score is presented by Sprint. Brighter future for all. Speaks hanging out with Mack and Parkins on the Score.
The long snap will come from Jake McQuaid. The holder is Johnny Hecker, the punter. It's on the near hash. 57-yarder for the Super Bowl. Ball put down. Right-footed kick is up. End over end arching up, and it is caught! He got it! The Rams win! It is caught!
Kevin, were you stuck between words? What happened?
No, it was good. I said good.
We loved that call so much.
Caught!
No, I said good.
It is caught!
He's not giving it up.
No. He won't admit
we
it.
We all hear caught. You guys heard caught, right? Kevin Harlan hears good.
I don't know why he would say the kick is cod. It would be an odd choice.
Is it salmon? Is it trout?
It's cod.
Yeah, musky. Absolutely. Yeah, it is cod. It's cod.
Spiegs, Spiegs lied to us, man.
He had to cut out.
And the audience. He actually needed to run. But
nice of him to stop by. Enjoyed that enormously.
It was fantastic. He'll be on tomorrow morning starting at 9 with Bruce Levine until 11 and then with Steve Rosenblum until 12:45.
Yeah, and Matt on his way out says, you know, how lucky we were to have the Bears this year. And, you know, points to baseball being somewhat dead this time of the year. No free agency to get excited about locally. Yet, anyway, and the Bulls and Blackhawks sucking. And that's one of my favorite times. I mean, I'd rather see the winter tenants in the United Center be good, but when they're not, we shift gears and do some other things. And do some other things as good in an Oscar season. So I fear nothing. True Detective season number 3 is in full swing. They're not backing off the Super Bowl this year.
But they actually did change something because of the Super Bowl. I did not know this, but a bunch of texters checked in earlier. It's available already. You can watch it tonight if you wanted to.
How about that?
They put the episode out early in the for HBO On Demand and the streaming, so because they know that numbers will be down Sunday night. So the episode 5 is apparently already available for consumption.
Okay, I'm gonna keep to my Sunday night tradition. I'll record it and watch it after the Super Bowl is tucked away. After I count all that prop money we're gonna be collecting from our account.
You like our chances?
Crushes. I do.
You
I do?
Do.
Yeah, I do.
We need a long shot. We need the opportunity to win big.
Tanny's Rex Burkhead for first touchdown is I like that at 10-1. So that's let's just go with him for our Patriots pick rather than pick 2.
Okay. Sounds good to me.
And we'll stick with our pick on the other side. I feel great. Come out with a 57-yard field goal from Greg Zuerlein. I feel really good about longest field goal of the day being more than 47.5 yards. And I think you said, they may go for it instead. But then they very well might. But both teams have kickers who can bust it from 50. And their coaches have confidence from even more than that. So I think Steve Christie's Super Bowl record might just come down Sunday night.
That's right. 54 yards. It's held up since Super Bowl 28. Man, oh, man.
That one was caught too.
What about, have you seen lines or at least the payout for alternate lines for Rams winning by like 2 touchdowns or?
I mean, talk to this guy on that one. You guys can partner up on that one.
There's a lot of money to be made. Well, did it with the Seahawks back in, was it 47, 48, when they routed Denver.
48. Yep.
And I don't know, haven't done it since, but I don't know. I don't love the Rams pick, but I could see them just not being stopped all day. Hell, I mean, it happened last year.
I'll put it in for you and me separately, because Mac thinks that we are just, we're very
I just
split.
Don't see how New England routes them. I don't think New England's built to route anyone.
Is 10 points really a route, though? I mean, if I bet him to win by 10 or more.
You said running away earlier. I mean,
yeah, let's say that. I think it's real possible. I'm going to look at the margin of victory plays and pick New England either, whatever it is, 10 to 14 or 11 to 15. Somewhere in there is probably where I'll go. I might even go one notch higher than that. Give me the 16 to 20 margin of victory. That would be sweet.
I it's just funny to me how separate we are and how divergent we are on this Super Bowl. I think it'll be a close game, but if you want to bet Rams blowout, I'm your hot
player. Not even necessarily a blowout, but just if you even can get them Rams minus, I don't know, 4 or 5, it's that's got to be much better payout, like plus 220, plus 250, somewhere in there, if they're probably, what are they on the money line right now straight up?
Plus 130 or so?
I think it's 130. We need 7 or 8 more prop bets.
Okay.
What do you think about? Do you think we need to do just $100 on each one to get to 20 prop bets? Or do you think
we should
up the ante on a few of these? Because, like, I love under 3.5 sacks for the game. So I'd be interested in maybe investing a little bit more.
I've got that down on my list as things to debate today. I can be talked into it. I think I'm biased by what happened last year. And that was because nobody got to the quarterback last year. There was one sack in Super Bowl 52. Now, you don't have to look too far back beyond that to see when Grady Jarrett had 3 sacks in Super Bowl 51. So I'm kind of torn on that one. But Jeff, what do you feel? I'll go along if you think it's going to be under 3.5. If I'm the only dissenting vote, let's plunk down on it.
I look at it, and I don't think Brady gets sacked. Like, they haven't sacked him all
right, let's go
postseason.
Under. Let's go under on that
one. I see that changing. I see a ton of points, and I see offenses ruling the day is what I see in this game.
Well, so, and I have the margin of victory stuff up. And
okay.
This is my site, so it's not Bovada, but it'll be close enough.
Right.
If Mac, you like the Patriots to win by...
Let's say 11 to 15 points. What's closest to that?
I got 11 to 13 and 14 to 17. 11 to 13 would be 15 to 1. 14 to 17 would be 10 to 1. Shep, if we want to say that the Rams win by 22 or more, it's 8.5 to 1.
That's all? 8.5 to 1?
Yeah, well, it's same way both ways. You get Patriots by 22 or more is only 5.5 to 1 because you get every number above, obviously.
Sure.
22. Yeah,
I got works out.
You get the same thing?
25-point differential. Do we still get this one?
Yeah.
Is our bet good?
It would be good. Rams by 14 to 17 points, 13.5 to 1, Shep. We can nail it exactly.
All right.
I don't hate it.
I'm in for 100.
To review, for those of you who hadn't heard, we're betting for a fan to run on the field. Because it's fun.
Because we like lighting money on fire.
Yeah, right. That's throwing money away. But
that's
if it pays off, then it'll be a blast.
I was hoping there would be one, whether CBS shows it or not, if there is.
For 15 to 1?
They never show it. They talk about it, and we all want to see the guy getting his ass kicked by security, and they don't treat us to what we want. They're not going to talk about gambling during the game. Why would they show a guy in that kind of aberrant behavior? We have a safety at 5 to 1. We have the longest field goal being more than 47.5 yards. We've got Gurley of the Rams and Burkhead of the Patriots for first touchdown of the game. We've got Brady's over on completions, 25.5. MVP, Jared Goff, plus 250. Gurley rushing yards under 70.5. Gronk receiving yards under 54.5. We're taking the punt return for a touchdown because there's never been one at plus 950.
We're due.
We like lighting money on fire. Game that's going to see 2 punts.
Yeah, well, 2 punts, really. But those odds, man, 9.5
those
to
odds.
1.
They're those odds
those
for a reason.
Odds for, I mean, putting 50 bucks on it at 9.5 to 1. And Joe O, who was with us in the first hour of the show, said...
bet for the over in points in the second half. More points to be scored in the second half than the first, and I liked his logic on that. Also, we betting on a two-point conversion, a made two-point conversion. I think we agreed on that.
So yeah, are you going to send a recap email when we actually put all of these bets in so I know what I'm rooting for on Sunday?
Sure,
sure. My memory.
Sure, you don't have them up here? You don't have them in here in your heart and in your head?
I got a few in the heart, but yeah, none in that.
Well, we need seven or eight more. So by the conclusion of today's ride, let's come up with them, yeah.
This is like the Super Bowl of gambling.
That's what it should be.
Thank you for the pity laugh down here in the front row for that. It is the best gambling day of the year. It's not the best gambling event. I still will maintain March Madness is a better gambling event than the Super Bowl. 64 teams down to 16 over the course of 4 days. That opening weekend of March Madness is my favorite gambling event of the year. But for a day, you can't beat the Super Bowl.
Yeah. You also have watched these teams all year. College basketball, you've seen like four of the teams. All right, well, Butler's always good in March, so lay $20 on them.
Yeah, but we're betting on fans running on the field and safeties and punt return touchdowns.
Stop making valid points.
It's not like we have any idea what's going to happen just because we've watched it. We think we know what's going to happen, but no one has any idea what's going to happen in this game, which is why everybody should be listening at 5 o'clock today, by
That's
the way.
That's right.
We're going to hear a lot of people who don't know what's going to happen in the Super Bowl make a pick.
I bet you one of them's close to right, though, and we'll play it back on Monday.
And that person's a genius.
Yeah. We haven't looked at individual defensive stats yet, defensive props, and because Chris Tannehill, Tanny just absolutely is crazy for Kyle Van Noy. Come on, Phil Van Noy. We've got to take his over on tackles just to pay
What's
tribute.
What's even at?
I have no idea.
Over.
Whatever it is,
over
let's
it
go
is.
Over. Yeah. It's whatever.
I think this is how the pro gamblers do it.
Yeah.
Whoever I like, yeah, usually.
All right, listen, man.
Well, whoever produces the best parody song, yeah, I think that's how they do it.
Yeah, I think that's how it works. We're in. It's going
to
be beautiful.
This is a day when I possess a willingness to light money on fire. It's just like the 4th of July or the Kentucky Derby. I have a budget, and if it goes up in smoke, I'm not going to cry about it. I don't exceed the budget, and I have fun doing it, and hopefully a couple of them come in.
Well, we're not going to lose all of these. That'd be impossible. That'd be
We could work. I think I was 9 out of 11. Super Bowl 49, I think I was 9 out of 11. Yeah.
That's 2 out of 11 in the win column. So I'm just saying. You're not going to lose it all. Don't worry about it. There will be money in the show pot at the end of the day to bet on the Bulls.
Don't remind me of that anymore.
All right,
I'm sorry I did that.
It's okay. Sorry, you said you don't like lighting money on fire other than those events.
Other than those three events.
Or New Year's Day.
And or New Year's Day. Or the Bulls. Man, gambling's hard. But what you're doing is right. Set a budget, and then you're just paying for entertainment.
This is not an investment. My investment is in Bill Belichick and Tom Brady. That's my investment Sunday. These are just playthings right here.
Yeah, it's the toy department of gambling.
Yeah, that's my garage. There's a gas-powered leaf blower right here, the punt return. There's
a safety.
That's the snow blower of prop wagers.
Rex
right?
Burkhead over here.
How would we feel if we didn't have a safety? Given that a lot of people think of us.
If a safety occurs in the Super Bowl and we didn't bet on it, did it really occur?
I mean, since the very first one, I just, when Dwight White tagged a fallen Fran Tarkenton in Super Bowl IX, I just said, yes, let's bet the safety. I thought that as an eighth grader. Every year I have to bet the prop on the safety. I have to. And I cashed in the following year when Reggie Harrison blocked the Cliff Hoops punt through the end zone.
It's like the Cal Ripken Iron Man streak. Max consecutive safeties wager. It's very impressive. Julius Peppers retired today. I've always thought that how you felt about him as a Bear was interesting. So we'll get into that a little bit coming up. And Super Bowl predictions in an hour on the score.
We really need new phones.
T-Mobile will cover the cost of four amazing new iPhone 15s, and each line is only $25 a month.
New iPhone 15s? It's better
over here. Only at T-Mobile, get four iPhone 15s on us and four lines for $25 per line per month with eligible trade-in when you switch.
Minimum of 4 lines for $25 per line per month with auto pay discount using debit or bank account. $5 more per line without auto pay, plus taxes and fees. Phone fee at 24 monthly bill credits for well qualified customers. Contact us before canceling account to continue bill credits or credit stop and balance on required finance agreement due. $35 per line connection charge applies. See T-Mobile.com.